Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking to Jessica Waller, a former reporter for the Fort Worth Weekly. Waller says she was fired from the paper after she submitted a story about election fraud, she says, that took place during the November 2022 election cycle. Waller believes she has uncovered election fraud on a level the Fort Worth Weekly was afraid to expose. She states that Kat Cano, a former ballot board member, and Allison Campolo, the former Democratic chair, both began emailing her editor, discouraging him from releasing Waller's story. So what's really going on? Well, tonight, Jessica Waller says she has all the answers, and we're listening. But that's it. Let's talk forward. All right, I see Ms. Waller is on the phone line. Give me 1 second to open her phone line, and then we will, just as I was, my switchboard moved, I apologize. Let me get back there. But this story has been building. There's a lot of back and forth on social media between these parties, and tonight we just want to know more about what's going on. Give me 1 second, y'all. Chilovia. Now, sometimes we have technical difficulties that are out of our control, but here we go. But I have anticipated the show all day. In fact, since last week when we tried to initially book it, trying to get a better understanding of what the hey is going on. All right, y'all, before my board moves again. Good evening, Jessica. How are you? Good evening. Can you hear me? 682-716. Okay, y'all. We are having.
Yes.
Hey,
can you
Carrie,
hear me?
This is not. That's
hey.
Not this is. I'm listening in.
This is who?
Can you hear me? This
yes.
is Rebecca Delosiewicz. I was just listening in to your show, Carrie.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let's find Jessica.
Oh, no worries.
Okay, we're going to find her. Yo, listen. Can someone hit up Jessica on social media, on Facebook, please, and tell her we are waiting on her? I'm sorry, Rebecca. I thought that was, let's find out where Waller is tonight, y'all. I promise you we are so booked for this show, and I am not sure why she's not in place. I'm going to give y'all a little music while I locate my guest. This has been the third show in a row, y'all, why I have to go find the guest after we are double booked for the show. But, Adrian, if you could hit her up on Facebook and YouTube Christopher and let her know that we are waiting on her. Not sure why she is not in place. But I hope I hope nothing happened to her, because there's probably quite a few people that don't want her to talk to us tonight. But I pray all is well. If y'all could send her a message and let her know that we are waiting on her, I would so appreciate it. I'm not sure what happened. Y'all, this is the third show recently that I had to go find the guest after I went live. And that is something I hate so badly. That is not something I like to do. But let's do this. We're going to figure it out. Just one second. We're going to find her. You can believe that. We're going to give you a little music while we go locate her.
I just want to ask a question. Who really can save a world in despair? Who really cares?
It followed the water crisis in Flint that began 4 years ago when the city started drawing water from the Flint River, exposing thousands of people to the toxic metal.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
25, it's going to be a black male in a white t-shirt.
There's far too many of you dying.
14 million more
you
Americans
know
would be
got
uninsured
to find
next
way.
Year. This deadly mass shooting
to bring
in Parkland,
the
Florida
here
Austin,
today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love into here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Can see, oh, what's going on, yeah, what's going on, oh,
Y'all, we have located my guest. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to Let's Talk Fort Worth for the very first time, none other than Jessica Waller. Good evening, Jessica. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing, Gary?
Well, you have me a little nervous. I'll just admit. Oh, I was thinking, okay, where are we going with this tonight? Okay, I'm so glad you're here. So, Jessica, so we can catch up. Tell us a little bit about who is Jessica Waller and how did you get into journalism?
So I just have always written my entire life, and I was working this job that I hated while I was an undergrad at A&M. I got my bachelor's there, and it was at this little construction company where I was just a secretary and wasn't making any money, just, you know, not being challenged. And so I sent some stories that I'd written in college to the Daily Light in Loxahatchee, which was where I was living at the time. And I would drive by there every day on my way to work and, you know, always thought, man, I write all the time. I love writing. You know, I'm always getting, like, top grades in writing in all my college classes. So I should just send them some of my writing samples and see if they have any positions available. And he loved my writing, and I started working there right away, but it was all puff pieces, and that was great, you know, to cut my teeth on, but over the years, it got boring, and I started seeing what was really going on, and, you know, really wanted more of a challenge. So then I got my master's in English at A&M and went on to work at the Paris News, worked there for a little while, and they let me do a little bit of column writing. So I got a taste for that, and then, you know, I don't know if you're familiar about everything that happened in Southlake and how I came to work for the Weekly, but, yeah, like, basically, they were the only ones that really cared that politicians were going in there and changing my stories that I was writing. I caught them in real time and busted them with screenshots like I do. And I tried to, you know, tell Channel 5, Hicks and Baugh, and they basically were just like, oh, we already know, no big deal. Like, Southlake is just a big joke, and everybody already knows that they're super corrupt. So that's not really news. But I had a friend from Twitter who put me in touch with Edward. And, you know, Edward and I are friends, and, you know, I respect him and his journalism. He's basically the one who got me hired, and, you know, I had a great working relationship with Anthony for a while until I really started getting into wanting to write more investigative journalism, and, you know, there's only one full-time writer there, and that's Edward, and he told me, you know, don't argue with Anthony, just do whatever he wants, and
Anthony,
I don't really work like that.
Anthony's the editor, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Let's fast forward a little bit, because everybody is anxious to know this whole story about what's going on with this ballot board room and this November 2022 election. So let's fast forward to how did you stumble onto this story?
Well, I was out at the Trinity Pride Parade, and I just talked to people at the bars. I'm old school, dogged, you know, muckraking journalist, and so I feel like you have to get out and talk to the people. And I still love to go out and do that. And, you know, I think that's a huge problem with journalists now is that they're just in their little, like, academic bubbles, and they really have not much life experience. They've never really struggled. And so they just, I mean, I ran into a group of journalists from the Star Telegram at the, what is it, that Owl Bar, the something Owl in Fort Worth. And, yeah, they were just, like, they were so just not even, you know, at all really – I'm an intense person, but, I mean, they were just, oh, yeah, we're writing about this, and didn't really want to talk about, you know, journalism. They were just talking about, like, these shows on Peacock or whatever, and I don't know. I was just very underwhelmed by, you know, the local mm-hmm. journalist, because when I go out, you know, I like to talk to people about real stuff and, like, get to some real stuff. And, yeah, I started talking to Diane Simons, and she was awesome, and she was telling me that all of the people, all of the black people that came in and minorities, she said mainly black people, though, and on election day, all of them were suspended voters. And she's also the photographer for Opal Lee. So she's, you know, pretty fired up about activism in Fort Worth. And I was like, what? Like, what is going on with that? And I just could not sleep after I heard that, and so I started digging in. And I found the official Kansas report, and I was livid because, first of all, I had been talking to Campolo through email, and she was telling me, oh, you know, I respect you so much and, you know, all the work that you did, because I had a series on Patriot Mobile that, you know, was pretty big, and I feel like, you know, might have had a pretty big impact on why they didn't sweep the school board elections this year, and they did last year. They only won one seat this year, and last year it was 11 seats. So, you know, everybody knows that I don't really mess around and kind of go for the jugular, and she, you know, was like, oh, thank you for all your work and, you know, this community, and I was like, okay, well, thank you, you know, and we were just being really polite, and I was like, you know, I appreciate all the work you did, too, and I have instincts, though, and, you know, even though, like, I might not be as, like, pretentious or whatever as some of these journalists, I have these instincts that, I mean, I think anybody who's around a lot of people, they get these instincts of, you know, that's kind of weird, you know, I wonder why they're doing that. And when she resigned, like, right after Hyder resigned, I was like,
well, wait, we're moving too fast. Okay, when you say Campolo, you're referring to Allison Campolo, the former Democratic chair, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And when you speak of Hyder, you're speaking of Hyder Garcia, the former election administrator, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so everybody's on the same page. Okay.
Them both resigning, you know, within a couple months of each other, just kind of, I was very curious as to what was going on up there, and so I asked Campolo, you know, hey, is there anything that, you know, you can talk to me about now that you're not the chair anymore and you've resigned? I thought, you know, this would be a really great time to ask her, and, you know, she was like, no, nothing at all that hadn't already been covered by the news, and I was like, are you sure? Because it's a little suspicious, and she was like, oh, she said something, I can send you all those, like, all these emails about this documentary that just came out on Amazon and how Tarrant County was going to be like that, like, in the near future. And it's about, like, churches selling children, basically, like, in prostitution. And so I was like, damn, like, you're telling me this incredibly extreme thing in one breath and in the other saying that there's not really anything going on that we don't already know about. So, I don't know, I just thought that was really weird. And whenever I saw that she had chosen Kat and, you know, started kind of digging into who Kat was, both Allison and Kat strike me as people who don't really care that much about other human beings, and, you know, kind of dishonest. like, they're just not really that invested. They're, like, disillusioned.
Can I pause you a second? Because just for clarity, I thought Kat Cano was appointed by Deborah Peoples, and I think that's something I saw Kat Cano post on Facebook. But you're saying that Allison Campolo is the one, the former Democratic chair, is the one that appointed Kat and not Deborah Peoples?
Yeah, that's how it works. Like, I found this document because they actually did post this one. Not so much with the transparency this year. I mean, you sent me that one, and that was good to know. That just happened, and I'm infuriated about that right now, that she was just reelected after all of this that I've been shouting from the rooftops the last couple weeks. But, yeah, she was chosen by Allison Campolo because I read through all these documents on the Secretary of State, and there's all these guidebooks on the Secretary of State's website, and they go into detail about how the elections are done. And I did that before I talked to any of them, and I pretended I just played dumb, like I didn't know anything about anything, you know, to see, like, if they would tell me, you know, what was going on. And I don't know, that might have been, like, tricking them, but it's because I already had asked Allison, so I already knew she wasn't going to tell me the truth. And then I got the same impression from Kat right away. I'm not saying that these people are bad or that they intentionally tried to do anything, you know, to thwart Democrats, but I do think that they are cowards, and I've told them both those. I mean, that's what I keep coming back to, because if it was me and I saw all this going on, I would have said something. And we need Democrats who are going to say something, especially if they're elected to high positions like that. And, no, she was on the ballot board, not ballot board, the election election board. Tarrant County Election Board is who puts these people in place. They're the ones who – and also on the Secretary of State, it says whoever won the most votes for governor in the last election, they should be the presiding judge, because there's a presiding judge and then there's an alt judge. And the presiding judge was David Lambertson. And, you know, sorry, I don't mean to, like, get ahead, but the Tarrant County Election Board is made up of five people, okay? And at the time, it was Glenn Whitley and Wayborn and Hyder Garcia and Rick Barnes, the head of the Republicans. He's the chair for them, Republican Party of Tarrant County, and Allison, because she, you know, is the head chair of the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, I can empathize with the fact that she had the cards hugely stacked against her from the beginning, because she's up against these four staunch Republicans, and, like, I get that. But that's no excuse, you know? I mean, if anything, that's why you should fight harder. And, I mean, that system is just messed up to begin with, because why is there not anywhere near an even number on the Tarrant County Elections Board? Of course they're going to choose judges to preside and to count all these votes that, you know, they're going to be easily swayed and not really stand up for the Democratic interest.
Okay. So you stumble onto the story because someone tells you about these black people. Where was this location at where these black people had all had the same experience?
So that was Precinct 4, I think, but as soon as I started talking to Diane, and she knew that I had told Kano and Campolo and was mad at them about everything I was uncovering, and, I mean, honestly, I might have been a little too scary when I first found out about all this, because I was so mad at the injustice of it all. Everybody just looked the other way while this happened. And, you know, I started calling cowards on Twitter and freaking everybody out. But, like, I knew, like, they are cowards, so this is probably the best way to get the information, because if they think, you know, that they can lie, they will. And so they all got scared and started saying stuff that ended up being very valuable to me. So that strategy did work. But I think I might have alienated myself a little bit by just being a little bit too, you know, coming on pretty strong there at first. So everybody got a little scared. And Snyder, unfortunately, was one of them, because
I don't know what she thought. I guess mainly, so her thing was, hold on 1 second.
And by the way,
her
who
thing
is
Snyder?
Who is Snyder?
Diane Snyder, she's the one who I met out at the bar at the Trinity Pride Parade. And, you know, just started talking to people, you know, talking about the issues. And she was like, oh, you're with The Weekly. You know, here's something you should know. And I was like, dang, you know, like that is disturbing. And so I called her a couple days later and, you know, just to confirm that, you know, she said, yes, all the people of color that came in, they were suspended voters. And she thought that the huge problem was the fact that, and I think she was saying the general election, but she was also saying the municipal election. And to tell you the truth, I think the municipal election was probably even worse. But I haven't even gotten into all that yet. I mean, I'm writing for Substack now because that's a whole other thing that I'll get into later, what happened with The Weekly not wanting to publish this because of the pressure from the politicians on them. But, yeah, like, she was thinking that it was because all of the suspended voters from January, because there was, like, 4,000 suspended voters in the system. If you look on the Secretary of State's website under cancellation trends and reports and go through there, there's 4,000 voters that were suspended, and that's, like, really odd because, I mean, you go through all the months, and it's, like, 0000, and then all of a sudden, bam, in January, it's 4,000. And so that, you know, definitely had an impact on the municipal election in May, but I think that it might have also had an impact on the general election because what they're doing, and I know this from all of the investigations that I've done in the last couple of years in Texas, the DPS is delaying everything, and the Republicans are exploiting the time lag in government operations. And so I think, and I don't know this for sure, so, you know, this is not something that I've, like, fully researched yet or can prove, but I think that there may be a chance that those 4,000 voters also were suspended because, you know, Diane said that's how it was in the general election too, but they didn't show up in the system until January, even though they were suspended in November. However, that didn't even end up being, like, my thing with all of this because that was just so, like, taking a back seat after I saw what was really going on and what all I could actually prove, which was the fact that I got a hold of this Canvas report and it was filled out by this racist extremist, Lambertson, David Lambertson, who, by the way, was just reelected as the presiding judge of the next election this year in Tarrant County. And this dude, he's got two LinkedIns, okay? So I guess he's really old, and, you know, they're, like, always talk about how he's kind of, you know, going senile. And I'm like, okay, so that's not a big deal, and this dude's in charge of the election. But, wow. Like, he has two LinkedIn profiles, and one of them doesn't have a picture. And it's just, like, David Lambertson, you know, real estate, of course. All these people are in real estate. And then there's this older one, and it's a picture of him, sure enough, because Kano had a picture of her and him together on her Facebook, and I compared it to that. And he probably didn't ever want anybody to take his picture, but she was like, look at me and my friend. And she says that she's like this huge Democrat, liberal, progressive, whatever. But, you know, and then I said, well, why are you sitting there, you know, with your arm around this dude who, on his LinkedIn, it says deport, capital letters, deport. Was it Pedro, Muhammad, and Mandingo?
Hmm. Okay, that's on Lambertson's page.
Yes, on his LinkedIn page. And he says that because, I mean, that's how blatantly racist this guy is. And he is the direct, it also says on his LinkedIn page that he's the director of the 912 Project, which is, like, linked to racist, extremist, insurrectionists. There's pictures of Obama with a Hitler mustache on their page. If you really dig, I mean, you can find this stuff, and I've posted it all to my Twitter. I mean, it's right there.
Okay, so let me, because we're gonna lose a lot of time here. Let me try to get to an understanding. So the lady tells you that there's a place where a lot of black voters went and all the black voters were suspended. Two questions. Where was this location again? And what happens when a voter is suspended? Are they not allowed to vote during that election?
So, you know, like I say, that to me, that is really taking a backseat to all the rest of everything. But I didn't ever find out for sure what location she was at because when I started asking her specific questions, that at that point, Kano and Campolo had gotten to her, and I know they told her, like, if you're talking to Jessica Waller, then you can't, I mean, okay, I don't know, I don't have proof that they said you can't work the elections. I do know that verbatim what Kano and Campolo told me after they saw me going off and being mad about all this is that if I expose all of this, then they said it's going to kill the blue vote because all these minorities will know or think, you know, for sure that their vote doesn't count. And that made me more mad because I'm like, okay, well, they're not cowards like you. You know, they're not going to be like, oh, okay, well, you know, let's just not vote. And so, I mean, at that point, I knew that she had been, like, talking to them because she said that verbatim. She said, Jessica, if you, you know, write this article, like, in hindsight, kind of, you know, like, regretting that she ever told me because they're pressuring her, just like my editor, they're pressuring him. You know, she's saying, oh, it's gonna really thwart the blue vote in Tarrant County. And so I said, you know, which location did you work at? And she said, I had student workers there. There was people that, she said, they all say, we're like a family. And so she didn't want to tell me where she worked at. But I have a really strong notion that it was Precinct 4 because I did some digging on her, and that's where it appears that she lives. So it seems like it would be Precinct 4. I don't know that.
Okay, Precinct 4 is what area of town?
Honestly, I don't know. And I don't even know if that was where she was working. But I do know that that's what she said, and, you know, she wouldn't have said that if it wasn't true.
Okay.
I don't think. I mean, why would she just make that up, you know? So, I mean, if it was happening at that location, it was probably happening in a lot of the locations. And if you read my stories, you know, it's just undeniable evidence of left and right. Just, I mean, the guy who was running against O'Hare, he's an old friend of mine way back from middle school, East Texas. And he told me that Trevor Bucher, I think you know him.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that he was going around to multiple locations on election day, and the printers weren't working. And then,
okay.
I mean, you know, there was a bag. There was a freaking bag that they were putting the provisional votes in. Kano, I have her record saying it was a big orange bag, and that's not, I mean, that's against the law. Like, they're supposed to put all the votes in a lost ballot box. And then mm-hmm. I confirmed that with Diane because I said, what did y'all do with the provisional votes? And she was a judge at her location because, you know, there's an ungodly amount of precincts in Fort Worth, and that's part of their strategy. You know, it's like over 700 precincts. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's like this is what they're doing right now. The Republicans are just trying to overwhelm the entire system. And somehow they just came up, I guess, like during COVID or something, to where they're just overwhelming everything, to where, like, the Democrats will just give up and be like, well, damn, this should, like, this is out of control now. And, I mean, so I don't even know, like, if they had a location at every precinct, you know, but I know that there must have been hundreds of locations. So,
okay.
You know, like I say, that really, I mean, it's abundantly clear to me that there was so many provisional votes that were not counted. And, I mean, he has N.A. there. The mail-in ballots, the number is wrong on the report. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and I told Hyder Garcia this on Twitter. I said, man, that doesn't even add up. And, you know, because I was going to see if he mentioned it himself. And then he did. Like, I tricked him into, like, you know, admitting that he saw that that was on there. And it was a miscalculation. Like, it left out hundreds of mail-in votes. And then if you, like, compare the numbers to the people who actually voted and, you know, what shows up on the people versus the ballots counted, it's way off, you know?
Okay, so we're talking, okay, so let me pause you. So we're talking about the reconciliation report, right?
Yes, the Canvas report, yes, yes.
Okay, so on that report, you're saying the numbers don't add up. How far off are we on the numbers?
It was like hundreds, you know, there were, what was it, like, I think it was 966 provisional ballots that were counted, and there was like 3,000 something turned in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like that we know of, you know? And
okay.
Kano, I have her on record saying that. And, you know, let me say, I don't think Kano's a bad person. I think she was trying to be helpful, but I also think she's trying to cover her ass. I think that's what's going on with all the Democrats. They were bullied into submission. I mean, they don't want it to be this way, but they didn't do enough to stop it. And she
told me that. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Finish your statement.
Kano told me that they didn't get enough training. They had more training. A lot of the, like you say, there was hundreds of locations, so hundreds of judges, and a lot of them didn't know anything about the SOR, the statement of residence form that they're supposed to give to people who aren't in the system. And, you know, I mean, this is like a fact if you research it. This has been, like, well documented that, like, many of the provisional votes, I think it's like 60% of provisional votes are usually just thrown out, just thrown away. And, I mean, that's definitely happened in Derrick County. And she said that a lot of the time the provisional voters wouldn't fill out the envelope. It wasn't given to them. You know, if they did put their ballot in an envelope, it wasn't, like, signed, or they just weren't given the information that they needed for their vote to count. And so that's what they're doing. You know, they're not telling people what they need to know for their vote to count so that they can discount thousands of votes.
Okay. Well, let me pause you. Listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. Tonight we're doing a special edition of the show. We're talking to Jessica Waller, the former reporter for the Fort Worth Weekly, who says she was let go because she was exposing election fraud from the November 2022 election cycle. So let's start there, Jessica. Who are you alleging is a part of this election fraud? Are there names that you can name?
So, definitely David Lambertson.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, he was just reelected as the presiding judge. That's the number one person in charge of the election in Tarrant County.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have proven that he's also a racist extremist.
Okay.
And so there's that, and it blows my mind because I thought this old man was the fall guy, because that's what Republicans do. They're like, oh, you know, we'll just have a fall guy. I mean, Trump's like the ultimate fall guy, I guess. But I thought, wasn't he going to be coming back? Because he's an investigator, and so I haven't been able to track him down. I mean, I found his LinkedIn page. That was the key, you know, to exposing him, but I can't get his phone number. I cannot track this man down. And here he is coming back in charge of the next election.
Wow.
And so,
definitely him. Do you think he acted alone?
Oh, no. I mean, okay. I think that all these people are really libertarian-leaning, okay? I think Lambertson, he's a libertarian, and I think that libertarianism is probably, like, the way that of the future, because, you know, Republicans are clinging to religion, and religion is fading, and, you know, I heard them at a huge meeting, like, whenever I worked for the Paris News, I was undercover, and they told me we're being split by the libertarians. And, you know, they don't believe in God, so, you know, they'll never go anywhere. But, like, I really do think that that is the future. And, I mean, libertarians, they were the insurrectionists. I mean, they are, you know, pretty extreme right on many things. and especially, you know, money and property and all this. And
right.
So, yeah, I
so
think that mainly that.
Lamberton acted with who, though?
Lamberton. Okay, so just to, like, break it down, so at the top of this, there's the Tarrant County Election Board. And now, you know, and that's the commissioner's court, right? And they have a lot of say in what goes on. And there's two Democrats on that court. In the, you know, it, there's, what is it, five precincts? No, four. And, you know, half of them are Democrats that I've reached out to about all this. And, I mean, I don't know if they had knowledge of it. I know that they probably had an elections board in Tarrant County so that they could be like, okay, you know, there's one Democrat here that we have to worry about. And she's already kind of given up, like just disillusioned with the overwhelming, you know, problems going on as it is. So we can just walk all over her. And so they got the board together. They had Campolo on there. And Campolo and, you know, the rest of them, they voted Kat Kano and David Lamberton in charge of the election. Then a huge part of all this is the early voting ballot board. Okay, the early voting ballot board is chosen by the judges. And another huge problem is they don't have people to work these elections. They do not pay these people enough. And so what my solution, because I'm a solution person, they need to pay these people more. And they need to act like it's a civil service, like jury duty, because that is like a – an egregious problem going on right now in our country.
So hold on. What kind of pay are we talking about?
Okay, so like $13 to $15 an hour.
Okay.
And, I mean, like, I'm sorry, but that's just really, that's, I know minimum wage is, like, ridiculous, but, I mean, they should be getting at least $20 an hour, in my opinion, because this is incredibly important. You know, and it should be like jury duty, because election law states, that you got to have half and half Democrats and Republicans on the early voting ballot board, because the early voting ballot board is who looks at all the provisional votes and decides to reject them or accept them. And they are supervised by, they were supervised by the same dude, Lamberton, that was in charge of the whole thing, and that's not supposed to happen either.
Okay.
So it's,
let's go back to Lamberton, because we're almost at the top of the hour, and I've gotten through half my questions, y'all. So who are we seeing that we believe is involved, Lamberton and who?
And the early voting ballot board, because in Texas law, that's who accepts and rejects the provisional ballots. So, and then, you know, the judges at the precincts, I think that a lot of them just threw out the votes on the way there or did something with them that they weren't in locked ballot boxes. So, oh, and in Dallas, you know, for contrast, there's 12 people on the early voting ballot board. And I don't know why it's called that, because it's just a ballot board. It has nothing to do with early voting. I mean, there's all this, like, language that's, like, designed to throw you off. But there's a ballot board for the whole election. And in Dallas, there's 12, and they're half and half, right? But in Tarrant County, there's 89.
Okay. Somebody is texting me and saying, somebody is sending me a message and saying, FYI, the fact Jessica is saying what I said is false. There is no, and this person is Diane Simons. She's saying there is no precinct 4. All precincts are a four-digit number. My location is 95% black and brown community. The report, she only shows the middle of the report, not the top. The bottom portion explains what – I'm sorry, my screen went off. She said the bottom portion explains what means next to the NA. And she says which states were – I mean, which state where the difference of the numbers are located. Okay, does that all make sense to you?
Okay, so she's just trying to work the elections, and she needs to understand that she's the one who told me all this. Okay, mm-hmm. So if she would actually call and talk to me, I could say, why did you tell me that every black person, her words that came in, was a suspended voter? That's what she said. That is what she said to me.
My man, if you okay, would, please call in tonight for clarity. And listen, if Cano or Campolo would like to call in as well, the more the better to sort all this out and so that everyone can understand. And I don't want anyone to feel like I'm taking, you know, anybody's side. I'm just trying to better understand this whole story. And there's it looks like there's a lot of moving parts. I get that part. It's a lot of moving parts and
okay.
a lot of things going on. Would you agree with that?
That's yes. This will take many... Probably many, you know, at least a couple episodes, I think, for everybody to really understand what's going on here. But, yeah, like I said, I never knew the exact precinct because she wouldn't tell me because she shut down after Kano and Campolo told her to stop talking to me. You know, and
okay.
that's something that I was like, I didn't even really care because, like I said, I mean, if it's going on there, it's going on everywhere. But I knew my mm-hmm. editor would, you know, want me to specify which precinct. And I like I said four because – I looked on her Facebook, and there's a post on her Facebook that says she's, like, you know, defending equality in Precinct 4, okay? And so, you know, and there's, like, different precincts for every election, for all of this. It's just, it's really layered and loaded, you know, to where they can just talk in circles. But the fact that, that's what I'm saying, like, it doesn't matter where she was at. She was a judge somewhere in Tarrant County where she saw the minorities that came in were suspended, like, and then I asked her again, you know, she said, I saw about 100 people that day and 20, you know, were minorities that came in and that were suspended. And she, like, specified mostly African-Americans were, you know, in that number. That's
so,
what she
Diane,
said to me.
If you
what?
Feel like you're being misquoted, please call in so that you can set the record straight because no one wants to misquote you. I know I don't want to have you feeling that you're being misquoted. So if you want to call in, you know, and address just the show, you don't have to go back and forth with Jessica if you don't want to. If you just want to clarify something that you feel she said wasn't, you know, exactly right, then we can do that. Because I think we all want to be clear at the end of the show that we are on the same page. So, Jessica.
Yes, please, Diane. I'm not a scary person. I don't want to berate you. I am a very nice person. I just, like, I've struggled and suffered all my life. And, you know, she struck me as the kind of person that was really looking out for people. You know, my votes are provisional when I go in. So I'm just really mad about all this. But I'm not mad at her. Like, I know she was just trying to help. And now they're coming down on her and they're pressuring her and they're bullying her. And she's going through a lot. I know that. Like with her, you know, family right now. So I'm not trying to make her life harder. I'm not trying to, you know, I was like, if anything, I was very appreciative that she came to me and told me that.
Okay. So let's see. We're going to hope Diane calls in. Campolo, Allison Campolo, if you'd like to. Cano, we'd love to hear from you as well. David Lambertson, we definitely would love to hear from you. So
yeah,
so
you're that. Please, somebody. Like, this isn't okay.
Somebody text Dave and say, hey, they over there talking about you. Okay, so you believe that if there's something going on, it has to be very careful with the way I word this. So you're saying that if you believe something is going on, that you believe David Lambertson is involved, the early voting ballot board, and some of the election judges?
Yes, and let me tell you why. Because this is another thing that is hugely important. They will not post the early voting ballot board list, and that's supposed to be public document. And if you go to Dallas, you know, a blue county, bam, there it is, okay? And also, I called several times to get the clerk on the phone and to find out who's the registrar because they're also involved. They also had to sign off on whether the provisional ballots were accepted or rejected. And, you know, this person is incredibly elusive. They don't exist. There's no registrar for Tarrant County. There's no clerk. I called both locations, and this girl says, oh, this is Mary Lou. And I'm like, okay, Mary Lou, I forget her last name, like Parker or some crap. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, so you're the county clerk. She's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, can I talk to you about the election? And she's like, oh, wait, you mean county clerk? Like, just, it was a young girl. Like, they told her to say that she was a county clerk.
And she's like, oh, you mean like county clerk? Okay, let me transfer you. So she transfers me, and, of course, nobody answers. And they're like, who is this? And then, so I call the other location. I'm like, can I talk to the county clerk? And she said, this is the county clerk. I said, oh, hey, you know, so I asked, oh, well, this is actually the county clerk. This is just, you know, one of the clerks. And I said, okay, well, what's your name? You know, and she says, oh, I'm not going to tell you that. She won't even tell
so you can't
me.
Like, you kind of get the run around. So let me ask you, because we're running out of time, because I got to open the phone lines to my co-host in just a second. So let me ask you this. So are you saying that you believe that Kat Cano, a ballot board member, was really not a Democrat, that she's really a Libertarian, so she was put there to benefit who, the Republicans or the Democrats?
The Republicans are the ones that are benefiting from Libertarianism. They are. I mean, mostly. You know, I mean, I know that they're all about, you know, freedom and stuff and gay rights, and so that's good. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, like, they're fiscally Republican, you know, like, big time. And so, yeah, like, I think, honestly, you are the one who, like, exposed the fact that she changed her party affiliation to three raccoons in a trench coat. What does that mean? Obviously, that means Dem Republican and raccoon. I mean, Democrat Republican and Libertarian in a freaking trench coat. Like, she's sitting here like just laughing and telling everybody, you know, that she has no party affiliation and that a Libertarian is the same as a Democrat. That's such BS. This has got to stop.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so what are your thoughts on the Voter Integrity Task Force? Do you believe that they're going to be effective, or what are your thoughts on that new?
No, definitely not. I mean, I'm going because, like I said, I'm taking this all the way because, like, I exposed Patriot Mobile. Like, I feel like, you know, I was very instrumental in the last municipal election. I exposed their racism and their sexual exploitation of workers, and was very instrumental in that election. You know, and so, you know, I don't know about Barry, but I did have an impact, and that made me feel so good because these people are evil. And so, you know, for my editor to look at that award-winning, I mean, it got more likes than any other article in the history of the Weekly. And ever since that happened, he's been trying to bury my stories, sit on my stories, not print my stories because I just started working there. And, you know, he tried to tell me this isn't up to par of, like, our standards of writing. And I'm like, you just told me the last thing I wrote had moments of brilliance in it, you know, and this is better than that. And you're going to tell me, you don't want to publish it because the skill isn't up to par? I said, give me one sentence, you know, and he said, oh, well, this is a past participle, you know. And, like, okay. It was supposed to be a past participle. And I'm like, he even corrected himself, you know. He was like, oh, my bad, I meant to say present. But then what it really came down to, and I can send you these emails too, is the fact that he wanted me to do it as a column so that he could negate my voice because he was mad that I was leaking all the evidence on Twitter because he sits on my stories, and this was, like, time-sensitive because they were choosing the judges at the time that I found all this out, and that's why I started leaking everything on Twitter. And everybody can say it's amateur, oh, journalists shouldn't do that. I don't care about it. I don't care about awards. I care about the people knowing this now before another election happens. And so he said,
okay.
Oh, we could have had awards. I have that email, too. We could have had awards, but you wanted to make it about you and leak all this information on Twitter. I'm like, because you said all my stories.
So we're talking about Anthony, your editor. Let me ask another question.
Yes.
So how do you think this election fraud goes all the way back to the 2020 election, or do you think it's just isolated to the 2022 election, or
no,
what are your thoughts?
That's a really good question. That's a good question, Carrie, because I do believe that, yes, I do think when COVID happened is when the shit hit the fan, and, like, we're going to have to work hard to get it back, to get everything back in order the way it should be. And, you know, I'm not giving up. I'm publishing all of my evidence, all of my findings on Substack. You know, I've already got a bunch of subscribers on there. I made enough to get through this week on Substack, so that's good. I mean, I also work at DCC, so, but, you know, the humanities don't say shit. But I'm going to write this, and I'm just going to keep going because there has got to be an audit. There's got to be an investigation. That is the solution, okay? And I actually just talked to a lawyer friend of mine tonight who said he's going to
make sure that this attorney he put me in contact with is going to, you know, do their very best to try to help me. But you know what? All of the – and I'm going on another podcast today after tomorrow. This Republican guy, you know, and he is the one who sued because he saw Kano throwing away what she says were slips of paper. You know, he sued because of this, and he's going all the way with that lawsuit. And, you know, he told me a bunch of other interesting things about the numbers, about how there's all these people in Tarrant County, but the votes are going down somehow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're speaking of Bob Willoughby. Okay, gotcha. So let me ask you
this.
Heidi Garcia, do you believe Heidi Garcia played a role in any of this, or you didn't mention his name. Do you think he's not involved?
No, I mean, yeah, I think, like I say, I think they all were just bullied, but that's no excuse. You know, like, Kano told me that, and I don't even want to say it because it's offensive, but O'Hare said something real racist and real offensive about Heider Garcia the day he quit. And O'Hare is an evil racist. I mean, this thing that he said that I'm not even going to repeat. But I do think that Heider tried, you know, to be ethical, but I do think that he gave up and that he was bullied and he ran away.
Okay, that segues into my next question. So do you believe that the video that was released recently that showed what the narrator of the video said was Kano and Panky doing some things that were not right during the November 2022 election? That said, do you believe that video was leaked to Heider, leaked to Tim O'Hare before it was released on YouTube, and therefore maybe that was what the conversation between Heider Garcia and Tim O'Hare was about, and that's why Heider Garcia possibly resigned?
I think it was all that, Carrie. I think that had a lot to do with it, but I don't even know about a lot because there was so much going on that he is a smart man, I can tell. You know, he got the heck out of here. I mean, I wouldn't have, but, you know, that was his choice. But, you know, I can tell that he's got some smarts to him about the numbers and, you know, trying to do things right. And, yeah, I mean, with O'Hare in there, there's absolutely no way. I mean, he's the one who got the countywide to where they couldn't. And even though Kano said that they don't apply this in the municipal elections, so the ones in May, it's not even applied, but he, just to save money, right? Like, he was trying to do things efficiently. That was his thing, you know? Mm-hmm. None of these people actually really give a crap about other human beings. I honestly think, like, they just kind of detached from, like, I'm on fire about trying to stand up for people in injustice. You know, but they just kind of, like, detached from, like, humanity was the feeling I got from them, you know? I mean, they're numbers people, and they're not even doing that right.
Right. So are you against Kat Kano going back on the ballot board?
Yes. I mean, hopefully she learned something with all of my ranting, and hopefully, you know, people are listening, but I mean, she cannot be trusted. She called in the entire last week of the election, you know? And, I mean, if she had medical issues, I'm sorry, you know, and I'm not saying, once again, that she's a bad person, but she didn't do enough. And Alison Campolo should have been like, okay, we're going to have a Democrat in there. We're not just going to have a Libertarian. You know, we're going to replace her. Like, everybody dropped the ball, and they know it, and they're back in there.
Okay, Diane is sending me another message. She said, they didn't tell me to not talk to Jessica. I stopped talking to her as she could protect me. Otherwise, I would be compared to Allison and Kat. Also, provisional ballots are in a locked orange bag that are turned in with the ballots that were scanned. Does all that make sense?
A bag, Diane, seriously, a locked bag. I mean, that's not what the Secretary of State says they're supposed to do with them, but okay.
That's what she said. So
yeah.
I will, Diane, I really would love you to call in at some point tonight, because I really, obviously, she's having a problem with a lot of what's being said. And so, you know, we will give you your minute. You don't have to go back and forth with Jessica. We just want you to clarify anything you feel like has been misstated, so that everybody's on the same page. So let me ask you, as far, because my hour is up. Yeah, and I started a little late, so I'm going to take a little bit more because I started late trying to find Jessica. So
my bad. I was trying to go back to my messages and find that number, and I was like, oh, man, I got a bunch of these.
Yeah, it was Jessica's fault. It wasn't my fault. So tell us about the Guardian scooping your story.
Oh, my God, yeah. I didn't even talk about that. So the day after I self-published on Substack, what do you know? Here comes the Guardian. And, you know, they're in Austin, far removed from what's actually going on locally. I'm talking to these people. I'm in it. You know, I got two of my tires punctured. You know, and they, and they want to, you know, come in and, I mean, the story was fine. There was nothing untrue in that story. But they just didn't expose the facts that I did. They didn't do their research. And it's the freaking Guardian. I mean, how many pull-throughs do they have? And my story was full of research and facts about these people. They left out about his LinkedIn that was, you know, proving he's a racist extremist. You know, they left out all of the information from the Secretary of State's website that says you have to explain any discrepancy in the miscalculation of people versus ballots, you know, just so many incredibly important things they just left out. And because what happened is Garcia, Kano, and Campolo all went to the Guardian and said, hey, write this story because this Jessica Waller chick is going to write her story and she's going to expose all of us. And so they wanted to control the narrative.
So, and I'm unclear. If there is something going on with these elections, do you believe somebody's getting money for their roles in for their roles?
Okay, Carrie, you know what?
Okay.
I don't want to, honestly, I'm a journalist, and I always tell too much. I should probably be a politician. I don't know. I give it too much away. But you're right. I mean, you are right. You got to follow the money, you know. And so I don't even want to say that because now they're going to start covering it up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when Haida Garcia resigned and then Kat Cano resigned and then Alison Campolo resigned, do you think it was connection between all of them resigning?
Yeah. I mean, yes, definitely. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, 100%. Because I wasn't sure why I saw on social media that Alyssa Campolo, the former Democratic chair, said that she was resigning because they wanted a black person in her position. So,
I'll tell you what, whoever did take over for her, I was just talking to my lawyer about it today, and I really hope that person actually cares about these people because I'm talking to them next. And if they want to just ignore the irony of this just kills me because O'Hare is the one who set up the election integrity unit because he knew about this miscount. I mean, he doesn't give a shit about election integrity. I have called him out. He was the first one I called out because I knew that it was, I mean, when you want to know what's really going on, you look at what they're talking about. It's always deflection. So I was like, oh, he sure is going off about election integrity. He's probably coming to it. And he was. And so he was the first person that I tagged, and he's the only Republican that has responded. And he said, I have never seen this canvas in my life. Like within the first 5 minutes of me posting it on Twitter, he said,
wow.
Oh, this is a false narrative, and my team has they've never seen this report in their life. You know, because he knew, like, Whitley was going, and he was coming, and he could just freaking, that's what they do. They just, no accountability, just pushing the blame around.
Okay, I got to pass the ball to my last question. So do you believe that Haida Garcia finished out the election cycle for the May 2023 election, or did he leave immediately after he and O'Hare had words or came to a disagreement.
Yeah, I think he was out of there because of what happened at the in the general, is my opinion. I haven't researched it, but, yeah, I a pretty good feeling. He split.
Gotcha. All right, Shelly, and I'm going to open up the phone lines to my co-host. I see Christopher and I see Adrian. Hey, y'all.
Hey, we're here, Terry. We're here.
We're here. All right, y'all.
Hello.
Far away. Hey,
what question I have.
Hey, good.
The question
good
I have.
Good evening to you, Jessica.
I have. While you were at, I don't know how long were you at the Weekly, but I do know that the Weekly has had years of archived stories about some things. I think going back to 2016 or something like that, where a big issue was ballot harvesting, you know, and that kind of fed in, you know, with these homeless people and the Democratic Party being involved in ballot harvesting. I was just wondering, while you were with the Weekly, if you had a chance to get into those archives and research any connections that may be coming to fruition in this current state of affairs.
That was such nonsense. None of that. I mean, they always said that they were telling homeless people to go vote. And, I mean, I don't know. I just think it's a bunch of BS. And it happened a while ago, and that's what Denver People said, too. She was like, everybody said that I had somebody go around telling homeless people to vote. Who cares? I mean, they live here, too.
Oh. So Denver People has spoken to you about that.
Yeah. I talked to Denver People. She told me that she was going to come on your show and do an interview with me, and then... Oh, Carrie, I'm so infuriated because Deborah Peoples gave up. She said,
oh, wow.
These people don't want to hear it. She said, Jessica, I'm going to have to step back because these people do not want to hear it. And
oh,
so I'm just like, who has given up and who has paid off?
And
you know,
either
way,
the other
nobody's
thing I
doing
clear
anything,
up.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Anything,
the
right?
The other thing I want...
But
the
let
other
her
thing
finish.
I want to clear up.
Okay.
Chris,
I didn't hear the last part of what you said, Jeff.
I said whether they just gave up or quit, like nobody's doing what's right by the people. That's clear.
Okay, gotcha. Okay,
so
Chris, I'm sorry.
When you talk, when
I
you
didn't
talk
give up
about
or paid off.
I want to get some clarity. I think when you're talking about the Precinct 4, you're talking about the County Precinct 4, which would incorporate a lot of voting precincts. And Kerry asked about where that was. That would be Manny Ramirez's district, and it wraps around Las Vegas Trail up to Azle along the Jacksboro Highway and then over into Saginaw. That's kind of that part of the fan. But I do just want to make the comment that I think – something that you're talking about, the suspended voters, there was a change in the law a couple of years ago about there's a status there, and it's something to look into when you talk about like 3,000 or 4,000 suspended voters it's unusual. What I'm thinking is that could possibly, that's probably the factor of that is if you don't vote, it's not that you're still an active voter, but what happens is when you don't vote in 2 years worth of every 2 years, like a 2 year period, so November 7th to the 2 year, if you don't vote in 2 years of election, then basically you go into an inactive status. And then I think what happens is your voter registration isn't disqualified, but I think what you have to do is I think the process is you have to do a provisional ballot and then – or you have to up – you're still an eligible voter, but you have to fill out a form. So I'm kind of like suspecting that they might not be telling the voters that are suspended that, you know, here's what you got to do to get unsuspended, because it doesn't disqualify you from that election. It just means you do a provisional ballot and it gets cured in the process. But I don't know. It's a lot
yeah.
of information.
I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on in many different ways. I mean, if we actually had all the people that went in there to vote, if we had all their votes, there is a very good chance that this is a blue county.
And
they just don't give them the information. And I have Snyder on record saying that. I said, and this was after, you know, Kano got to her. I said, I asked her,
did we lose you? Did we lose you? Jessica, can you hear us? Okay. Jessica, can you hear us? Okay, I see her phone line still open, y'all, but I don't hear anything. Okay.
I'm sorry. I lost y'all. Okay. What I was saying is I asked her, did y'all give them an SOR? And she said if they asked for one. And I have that, a text message of that. So she can deny all she wants because they're coming down on her. You know, I'm not trying to make her life hard. I'm not trying to make anybody's life hard. I just want these people to get some gut to stand up for what actually happens. Because why would anybody ask for an SOR? Why would they know to do that? I mean,
so
maybe some people, but a lot of people don't know what an SOR is, a statement of residence form. You know, if they say you're not on the list, you're a provisional voter, I said, then would y'all, because Hyder Garcia said, well, then, you know, they automatically get an SOR so that their vote counts. And I said, did they get those? And she said, if they ask for one.
So how will Bob Willoughby's lawsuit factor into all of this?
So he is suing the city council member where it happened because he was told by a lawyer that that's what you do. And it's based on, you know, Kano taking the box to the back off camera and throwing away all the ballots. What she says, you know, to get it correct, were slips of paper.
Okay. So you believe those ballots, not slips of paper?
I'm sorry. I took you off speakers earlier. It's hard for me to hear now. What'd you say?
Hey, Jessica, quick question.
So you believe those were ballots and not slips of paper? Did we see on the video?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter what I believe. It's what I can prove, but yeah. I mean, she said that Lambertson was the one who told her to take the box to the back. So, I mean, if she's listening to him, what else is she doing?
And from right there, you know, we're talking about a lot of things. You have a lot of information. You have a lot of scattershot facts. But, you know, in my opinion, you know, to get to be talking to find out how this machine is, you know, the mechanics of the corruption, you're not going to get the mechanics of the corruption. I'm asking, would you agree that there's a lot of smoke screen going on, and the smoke screen is just what we see in that video and just what you're talking about. You really alluded to a lot of that. It's just the total disorder and dysfunction and lack of transparency and accountability going on in the system. Forget about philosophical. I mean, that's something that you're not going to be able to deal with until you can come out of the weeds and grind down, get through that smoke screen. Because what I saw on that video was non-sterile environment. I mean, you had people coming in, going out, bags coming in, bags coming out, paperwork going out. And
the poll worker not even watching, just being on his phone.
Yeah.
This has so many moving parts, you're right. And, I mean, it goes so high up. I mean, I lost my job at the Weekly, like the one muckraking, you know, alternative publication in town. That's how deep this goes. I mean, you know, even with Pat, the Attorney General, you know, I've been reaching out to him, been reaching out to Jay Nelson. I found the Secretary of State, you know, what happened with him recently, where he's just, like, not even around anymore, Paxton. You know, so I got this email from my lawyer friend who showed me that, oh, my God, like, this happened, and a journalist did the same thing I'm doing now for Harris County, and they found out the judge on this legal document that I could send you found out that the Secretary of State herself was redacting evidence from these forms that this journalist had turned in, just like I'm doing.
Wow.
I mean, that's
so Jessica,
clear. Like, sent it in the legal paperwork.
Hey, Jessica, how you doing? Adrian, I have two quick questions, and first I have an observation, then I have two quick questions. Now, I say life declaration. Considering the work you put in, I feel it's important. You know, darkness doesn't like light shining on it. So could I just say as a life declaration, not as a nothing out of fear, on your social media platforms, and you can declare on this show tonight that you are not suicidal. Because, like I say, a lot of stuff you've uncovered, and I'm sure it's possibly more to come. Could I just give you some heads up, just out of consideration and love, please declare that on your platform that you are not suicidal if anything is to happen to you. Again, that's not out of fear. It's just because you're shining light on darkness.
No, sir. I mean, I'm mad that this has. So many people are suffering. I'm more
right.
alive than anybody you'll ever meet.
so that's just, I'm just saying, you know the day we're living in, how stuff just,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
not saying you, but just, you know.
Life is beautiful. Like, I love this life. That is why I'm not giving up.
You.
That is why I'm the only one fighting out here.
So as it relates to, our county judge, Tim O'Hara, and the Voter Integrity Task Force, do you think, have anybody reached out to you, or do you feel as if they're going to some of the, not just what not just things that you've researched and investigated, but do you think they are really going to investigate any type of voter fraud?
I pray to God. I mean, I'm not going to shut up.
Okay.
I don't know.
And
I hope so.
Okay.
I think you should. It's like there are laws that have been broken, and that's clear. So if they don't, the feds need to step in.
My last quick question to you, if you just – What is there to be gained by them appointing David? How you pronounce his last name? What is
Lamberton?
To be gained by appointing him,
Lamberton,
What is to be gained by appointing him as the new Perry County elections?
Ludwig.
Oh,
man.
You mean Ludwig?
Okay.
You mean
that guy?
Yeah.
He's referring.
We got his name. What?
He's referring to Ludwig, the new administrator.
Yeah, the new administrator.
Yeah.
What do you feel is to be gained by appointing him as the new Tarrant County elections administrator?
Okay, so first of all, I called to talk to all these people. They're all avoiding me. And they said, this is one of the first times that I found out that they're all lying to me, because they said, he's in a meeting. And then it was this nice boy. Oh, I have his name written down. And he said, at first he said, he's in a meeting. And they said, he's out to lunch. And then Kano texted him and said, a little birdie told me that he's on vacation. And so he's avoiding me. That's clear. And he's like, he's been on vacation all this week. And I'm like, really? That's weird, because they just told me he was in a meeting and at lunch today. So I don't know. But, like, that guy, yeah, he doesn't have any experience in elections. And
okay. Somebody.
One thing that our Telegram is doing, because of all this that you know I've been spouting on Twitter, the one thing the Star Telegram is doing, because they're also you know on it, or you know probably being paid off. I don't know. Like everybody has interests. You know, nobody wants to be on the outside like I am now. They all just want their little comfy lives. And so, yeah, the one thing that they published after I started putting all this stuff out there was the fact that they are looking at doing a national search for the elections administrator now, which I think I had something to do with, and I pray to God that they actually do that.
Well, that position
No. You're wrong. Okay, the new, we're already over that. What they're talking about, the national search.
No, I know, but they are saying, like in the Star Telegram, it said that they were going to, like, redo it, even though they've already done it.
They're talking about the county administrator, the Manus, what is his name? McManus or whatever. But the one thing that did come out in, I don't know who exposed it, but some of the people that we've been in contact with, there was a little flash story that came out about the about Ludwig. When they were doing the search, they were saying that there were numerous highly qualified people that did in elections work that were interviewed, and basically they were written off, and that they just went with this guy who has no experience in elections at all, and he's the assistant county clerk, you know, and
yes,
that was, I mean.
Exactly, and so that's what I'm saying in that article that I read. They are trying to fight that, and that's the one thing that I've seen, like the one, like, real hope I've seen in all this is that they were thinking about, like, trying to find somebody with experience because it was uncovered that there was a lot of people that did have experience.
Right, yeah.
But, wow. I mean, it probably won't change anything.
Wow. So, for someone who, you know, is naive about voting and is hearing all of this for the first time, and actually, let me rephrase that. I don't want to say naive about voting. Someone who's never heard any of this before is where I'm trying to go with that. And they hear what you're saying. Do you believe that would discourage voters from going to the polls?
No. Hell no. I mean, voters that care, people vote because they care. I mean, a huge majority of the population doesn't vote. But the ones who go up there, take the time off, get a babysitter, take off work, they are doing it because they care. So this, I think, will galvanize them, if anything.
Okay, let me say this. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. We're talking to Jessica Waller, the former reporter for the Fort Worth Weekly, about what she believes she's uncovered about election fraud concerning the November 2022 election cycle. That's it. If you have a question or a comment tonight, feel free to call in. The numbers at the top of your screen if you're listening via the Internet. Otherwise, it's 515-605-9321. Or if you're on the phone line, you just have to press 1. So, again, if you're listening via the Internet, the numbers at the top right of your screen, I believe. If you're on the phone lines, all you have to do is press 1. But I'm interested in hearing from anyone who is an election judge or someone who feels like they can agree with what Jessica said tonight, or even if they disagree with what she said. We'd love to hear from you because we want to show balance in the reporting of this, and we called a lot of names tonight. So if you are Allison Campolo, if you are Diane, Simon, I believe, is that how her name was pronounced? Diane or
Simon.
Diane Simon, Allison Campolo, Kat Cano, David Lambertson, even Tim O'Hare. Listen, if you want to call Heider Garcia, if you want to call in tonight, we would love to hear from you to hear your thoughts on the things that have been said tonight. So I'm just putting it out there tonight, y'all. If you feel like something has been misquoted, you know, please. And I don't know, because I have had Cano on the show twice. And some of the things that Jessica Waller is covering in her article, we never got that far. We really kind of just scratched the surface of the video. So some of the things that, you know, you have delved into, Jessica, we just have not touched that. So.
And I would, you know, I would really urge, I would echo what you say, Carrie. If anybody's listening, you know, This isn't a place where we're trying to brew. This isn't a platform where we're trying to brew scandal. We're just talking. I mean, we've had Waller on here talking about. I mean, this is a sentiment. I mean, in the same Waller. In the, this is a, no, I'm talking about Waller. The sentiment that I'm feeling personally, and I think a lot of people are feeling, goes along with that. We saw this video. And we've got all of these stories that are coming out, puzzle pieces. It's just a train wreck. And it's very deeply concerning that in the midst of this train wreck, we have the same people from who made this train wreck happen being reappointed to the same positions for the next 2 years. And we have I will say that just as far as credentials go and resume go, that Heider Garcia was, I mean, he was bombed far, I mean, everybody was on board talking, seeing his accolades, his resume, and now with this thing that's a train, now we've got an election administrator and down. I'm just sitting there saying that it doesn't seem to me, as a concerned citizen, it doesn't seem to me.
Your phone keeps going
the county supervision is. Supervision isn't really being serious about handling this. The election integrity task force was just kind of thrown out there as some fluff, and we haven't seen anything come about with it. And like I said, it just seems like to me we're just the train wreck is still falling off the cliff. And I would just ask that if anybody's listening, to come online and speak. Somebody with some authority and some inside knowledge to come in here and speak to us about what the plan is to right the ship, because it's not right.
Okay, so one thing I will say that Kano told me that O'Hare's trying to do is this, like, you know, hand counting BS going back, like, to the olden days. And, in fact, that will cost the county millions of dollars per election. And, you know, of course, it's just kind of crazy, but, I mean, something has to be done. So in contrast to that, I would say, why can't we just pay the election workers more? You know, I mean, we don't need to just pull it all up and go by what O'Hare's saying, a man who doesn't take any issue at all with his own discount. But we should do something for sure that's going to this doesn't happen again. And I think we should definitely pay them more, and we should require, I mean, do y'all think that's a crazy idea that it's required to be on a ballot board, like it's required jury duty?
They do.
Let me ask you a question. So if it went back all the way to the election of 2020, did Trump win Tarrant County, or didn't Trump lose Tarrant County? I thought. Honestly,
I mean, even if it is, like, he probably did it. But what happened in 2020 is, I don't recall offhand, but I do know that Kano told me that what the issue was is that they didn't have enough Republicans. And so that's another huge part of this, is that Republicans will not go be on these ballot boards. Okay, they won't work the polls because Republicans usually have more money, and, you know, they have these jobs, and you know, they're selfish people. You know, they just care about me and mine, and, you know, screw you and yours. And so they're not going to do anything for the greater good of the community, like go, you know, work a poll. And so they didn't have any Republicans. And so Kano said that they reached out to the governor about that, and the governor took it as, oh, we need to bring in, like, this Christian nationalist task force of election integrity because the Democrats are trying to steal the election.
No, listen, we have a Facebook page. We have the Let's Talk Fort Worth Facebook page. In case there's a part two of this show and you were, for whatever reason, shy about calling in tonight, go to the Facebook page and post under the post about the show. I would still love to hear your thoughts to lead us into the part two, because I think it's definitely going to have to be part two because, again, there's so many moving parts, and I don't think you scratched the surface of your article. What else was in your article that you have not told us about tonight?
I mean, I think I basically covered it all because Anthony was trying to give me 750 words, and I was like, that's a joke, because my ex, my fiance that I just broke up with recently, he works for the Weekly. I got him a job there, and he writes about birds and shit, and he wrote 1,800 words on birds. No, it was turtles this time, okay? And my editor said, yeah, 1,800 words, write about turtles. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I'm trying to write about election fraud, and, like, you're giving me 750 words, and you're telling me to make it a column? That's crazy. That's insane. Like, I need at least 1,500. And so that was a huge part of the problem, that it's like he was trying to make this problem that, like, as soon as Campolo and Kano were emailing him and putting pressure on him to not publish this, he was, like, creating a problem by, you know, making an opinion piece and then giving me 750 words. And I was like, what are you doing? You know, like, he's supposed to be, I thought, you know, in my corner fully. I trusted him so much. He was, like, somebody I really looked up to.
I want to ask you a question. Hold on. Hey, Carrie, I got a good question.
Had he ever restricted you to 700? Had he ever restricted you to 750 words before this happened?
No, not at all. He, you know, was I even have a letter from him that says, "What a great writer I am," as a letter of recommendation because I'm trying to get full time at the college, and you know how I always turn in my articles early. I'm the only journalist that does that. And I did my first investigative piece was like 5,000 words, and that was on how special ed kids in Southlake were getting like horribly bullied, and there was no funding for special ed there, and they were just taking it and like giving it to the athletics department, and that was like 5,000 words. And then I did the series on Patriot Mobile. You know, Mobile Patriots, Shut Out, Separate Lines. Separate Lines was about horrible racism at Patriot Mobile. And yeah, every time, I had at least 1,500 words.
So the question I want to ask is, you're talking, you referred to Southlake and Patriot Mobile, and you know, there's, I've been reading the Fort Worth Weekly, and something that throws me off is because right now, you know, when I read it, you know, I'm digging into the article, and there's a lot of good objective stuff in there, but I'm kind of having a problem with this terminology with Christian nationalist. And the reason why is because, like, to me right now, it just seems kind of like an ambiguous trope. And so what I would ask is if you would just go ahead and just give that some definition, because I'm not really understanding specifically what you're referring to.
So a lot of the media will say white nationalists. Here we say Christian nationalists because it's more prevalent here that they're using Christianity to, you know, spread corruption. And I believe in God. Like, I'm a Christian myself. That's why I'm so incredibly appalled by this, because I could go on forever about the stories I've uncovered and the sources I have in this town. They don't care about people. It's all about the money.
Profile it for me.
Corruption going on in the schools and the churches that they're spreading. It's just evil.
I mean, but profile it for me. What organizations, what specific organizations?
Okay, so Tim O'Hare is the one who started the Southlake Families PAC, okay? And, oh, God, these PACs, they are using religion to steal money, basically. Like, they can get money if they say it's so much. If they in Southlake, I don't know if y'all been following that, but they are bowing out from like the National School Board Association and the Texas School Board Association. Even somehow they're the very first school district to ever do this in the country. And somehow they're getting away with it. They're just doing it. And that is the first step to privatizing. That's what Abbott wants more than anything, is privatizing public schools. Because if he does that, then they can steal all that money. And right now, education gets a lot of federal money. And they hate that. They want that money. So if they privatize schools, they can get that money. And they also don't like the fact that when schools are public, they post the test scores on these real estate sites, because all these people are in real estate, right? And they are racist, okay? I mean, if you look at O'Hare in his past, he was booting all of the Hispanic people out of Farmers Branch, where he used to be in charge, and was saying, you got to go if you can't show me a green card. And that was covered by the Dallas Observer. So he's clearly a racist, and now he's in charge of Karen Tilling. I'm sorry, I know too much. It's crazy.
Are you at all?
What they're doing is they're using Christianity as a weapon to spread evil. That's what they're doing. Because, and then when I talked to like the Republicans that are coming to that meeting a long time ago, they said, the libertarians are stupid because they don't know that they can use like religion as this, you know, a tactic to just gain more money. And there's so much more I could say.
Are you at all afraid for your life, though? Because it sounds like what you are exposing, if it be true, then a lot of people would be basically in offices that they did not rightfully get elected to. So are you at all fearful for your life?
Yeah, I am. Oh. Honestly, especially lately, I've had my Instagram hacked. I had my email hacked. I had somebody post an OnlyFans thing with my picture on it. Mm. I mean, they are, like, coming at me, and they're sending me disgusting, like, dick pics, that small dicks, and it's grossing me out. It's disgusting. Like, I don't want to, you know, receive these things in my life, of course, but I also just, I can't sleep at night if I don't speak out.
Who do you believe is behind it?
You can hit that.
Hold up.
You can hit.
Chris, hold up. Who do you believe is behind it?
All of the maggots. I mean, I call them the maggots. You know, the MAGA, the hard right extremists. You know, I mean, and I don't want to hurt anybody, but this isn't right. It needs to stop. It has to stop.
So, do you believe if you stop reporting on it that they will leave you alone?
Yes, I do, and it's crossed my mind, but. And I have a daughter, so it's crossed my mind, you know.
All right, Chris.
I know this. This is it's a broad thing here. I mean, but I'm just trying to stay locally because it seems like you were saying that in other places I've heard white nationalists, KKK, that kind of stuff is coming on, but it's a unique thing to me. I'm just sitting here saying that it doesn't seem like, you know, it's kind of like the terministic screen here seems to be like trying to bunch up Christians and white nationalists. And
I see that.
If this is a new thing that's getting traction here, I mean, I know that it's been kind of assigned to this specific mercy culture thing, but I mean, that mercy culture is a slim slice of the pie because then it goes into Tim O'Hare, and Tim O'Hare wasn't even from Fort Worth. I mean, he's an outsider. I mean, we got that problem here, you know. It's just.
Yeah,
just
I mean, Edward told me that Anthony said, you know, no more Mercy Church, but here he comes with Mercy Church all the time. And it's absurd because I have something here that's like, this is the problem, okay? This is like the real problem. And he doesn't want to print that, but he wants to go on and on ad nauseum about this BS and just, you know, calling out. I mean, I think he's an atheist. I mean, whatever, but yeah, I take issue with that too. But the reason why I do that is because I want to draw attention to the hypocrisy. I mean,
well,
articles about Patriot Mobile, they say we're the only Christian conservative wireless company, and they have pastors telling all their congregations to subscribe to their phone company. I mean, they are. It's just like Pat Robertson and all those evangelists in the 80s. They're just They're using God to satiate their greed.
Okay. Let me ask you, when you were fired from the Fort Worth Weekly, did Anthony give you a specific reason connected to this story as the reason that you were being terminated?
Basically, the fact that I went over his head and the publisher Lee said, what do you need to do this story? But I guess that was just bullshit because then, you know, you know what he told me? Said, I'm going to try to work it out to where we can bring you on full-time because they only have one full-time writer, and that's Edward. Everybody else is freelance. I mean, they're an indie outlet. You know, it's not incorporated. They don't have much money. So everybody's freelance. But he said, you know, this is something. And I want, you know, I said, look, I need the time and the money to do this right. And he said, okay, you know, I'm going to try to get you that. And he said, but, you know, I might be in charge, but I still need to run it by everybody, you know, accountants and stuff like that. So call me on Wednesday. And then this all happened over the weekend. And so I thought, okay, I got some leverage here. And if Anthony keeps telling me all this BS, like, it's a column, 750 words, redo it, it's not good enough, over and over. You know, I was fed up. And so with my final copy, I copied E.R. Bills, who's a writer there that I really admire, and I copied Edward, and I copied Lee, the publisher, on this email to Anthony and said, this is perfect, okay? This story is perfect. I defy you to find anything wrong with it. And then, you know, I don't know what Anthony told Lee, like I was cussing him and we were, you know, calling him names or something, but next thing I know is Lee's on there after we've been going back and forth all day, and then in the afternoon Lee comes on the thread and says, look, I'm going with Anthony on this one, and, you know, you need to just move on.
Really? So do you believe that Campolo and Camel talked to your dog?
I know they did. I have the emails.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's not good. That's not good at all.
Well, I can
we should be trying to get other people's jobs. That's not right.
I can say that Fort Worth Weekly.
I'm getting better reception. Y'all are coming through a little bit fuzzy. I'm going to try to listen harder.
The Fort Worth Weekly has, 80% of its coverage is based on kind of like the entertainment, dining vibe, thing like that. And so, I mean, the business model there, that's kind of what, and, you know, if you're, I'm just throwing it out there just for conversation. And you got to understand the Fort Worth way has a lot of freaking shadows and shade. And some people pretend to be this way and they're really not this way. And, you know, it's about the mighty dollar in the entertainment. And, you know, that's a diverse culture market for the Fort Worth Weekly. And what I'm kind of like feeling like in my analysis is that, you know, if you make too many waves, you know, that could really put the Fort Worth Weekly under. I'm not putting you down. I mean, you want to be a much. What Fort Worth needs is a dedicated muckraker publication, really. You know.
Yeah, they say they are, but you're right. Like, they have just been going more and more towards food and entertainment for a long time now.
Yeah.
And I think that does definitely have something to do with, like you said, the money. Because, you know, Lee is an old white man. Anthony's an old white man. They're just giving up. You know, and, I mean, they need to really bring in a new editor. I thought I would make a great editor. Like, I've been an editor before, but they just saw me as this, like, I don't know. Like, first of all, I know that Isabel, a writer that used to work there, said Anthony is a sexist, and he always seems like a sexist to me, like a control freak. He wouldn't even talk to me on the phone. Like, he refused to talk to me on the phone. Every single thing that I've ever said to him, I've never once spoken to him over, like, the whole year that I worked there.
So was he afraid to release the story, or do you what else what was really behind it? Was he afraid to release the story?
I think that was part of it, but honestly, I mean everything goes back to money, and they're like, look, this isn't going to result in the investigation that you want, and so basically they were just like, they didn't care enough, right? They're like, we don't want to open this up. And also, like I said, he's sexist. So they're like, this girl, she's emotional. I mean, I'm mad, you know, but I think that makes me a better journalist. You know, I don't ever say anything, you know, that like, isn't like, I think well researched. I'm not just popping off like crazy. You know, I'm just a passionate person. And he tried to make that into this bad thing because I'm a woman. And, you know, he's a control freak, and so, I don't know, it definitely needs new leadership over there, because it seems like it could be a great muckraking publication, but they're getting lazy. Everybody's just getting lazy.
And I think the other intimidating factor is what I've seen the trend in Fort Worth and the city politics and the county politics is there's a very crazy freaking trend that's coming up with lawyers, these esquires that are, you know, I mean, insider esquires, Maddie Parker, Elizabeth Beck, Michael Crane, you got Tim O'Hare, and you got a lot of these lawyers, the lawyer thing going on in Tarrant County. I know that Tarrant County has kind of become a mecca for lawyers to be coming in, and that's kind of dangerous. I mean, that's a threat for journalists. I mean, because, I mean, really, if you rattle the cage too much, man, they could zap Fort Worth Weekly with a defamation, you know?
Yeah, I know. And that's why he tried to make it about my grammar. Like, really,
yeah.
Really? But then the last email he sent me was, you know, you didn't put enough of your opinion in this, and I told you to. That's literally what he said to me. I got the email. I mean, I was just – at that point, I was just like, oh, my God, I'm done. I'm so done. Because, I mean, yeah, that's what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to just layer it with, like, emotion, you know, so that I was like this crazy woman. And I refused to. I said, no, this is facts and information.
I got a question. The late Dick Gregory was somebody I considered a mentor. And I had a conversation with him after I did the show. And he said – he critiqued me. And he said – I think you're too emotional. He said, you're just the storyteller. And I live by that now. I try not to put too much of me into a story. I try to just deal with the facts. Do you think that advice would have changed your outcome of the way this turned out had you had that advice?
No, because my favorite journalists of all time were the most, like, hell-raising. I mean, my hero is Molly Ivins. I mean, yeah, like, they do get into, like, satirizing everything, which maybe when I'm older it'll be that way. But right now, I'm an optimist, okay? And I think that's why I stay just, like, so frustrated. I mean, I'm not crazy, okay? I'm very frustrated with the way that things are going because I had so much – I mean, I live by what Obama said. I loved Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope. Like, that is that is my life, The Audacity of Hope. Like, I refuse to give up hope, and so that's what keeps me, you know, passionate. I wouldn't say mad. If you read my story, if y'all read my story on Substack, I, you know, published it there. Y'all, please, everybody listen to this. Please, go read it. Because it is completely fact-based. I mean, there is nothing opinion about it. It's except for I have a lead, like an anecdotal lead, that talks about how I met my source and how it kept me up that night, you know, and that's how I found all the information. But that's it. And then at the very end, it goes off on an end note of if they're going to secret a public doc that shows who was on the ballot board, who chose to reject or approve thousands of provisional votes, and they're going to say, we can't release this public document like every other county's doing because these people are in danger of the extremists in this county, which is what they're saying. That's fear tactics, and that's fascism. And I said, if we open that gate, where will it end?
You know,
and that's a good
Okay. Jeffrey Incumbent from Fort Worth in Arlington and in Dallas all regained their seats last city election. That thing, in many cases, were very unpopular this last, you know, municipal election. So do you believe something possibly happened in the May 2023 election as well?
Definitely. Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm like choking on my water. Yeah, I think so, for sure.
Oh, wow. Okay, Christopher, going to get our last question off.
I'm good.
Okay. So, Jessica, final comment.
Hey, Carrie.
Uh-huh.
Carrie, real quick before you close out, I just wanted to just say, tell Jessica, I just want to say thank you, because you remember this, Jessica, what got you to this point. You spoke of your love for writing. That's what even got you in this position to be – that's what even got you in the position that you are. So hold true that you're doing something with a purpose. Hold true that you're doing something that needs to be done, because when it comes to voting, that involves our livelihood. You know, when it comes to who we elect, that involves our livelihood. So out from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you for being willing to just expose some evil. You know what I'm saying? And know that you're not doing anything
that.
Wrong.
That means a lot to me. That is why I
and
do
you're
this.
Not alone.
I mean, comments like that are why I do this, because I know there are good people out there. There's a lot of lawyers, but there's also a lot of good people and, you know, writers and who just write because they love to write. I mean, I teach writers day to day. I write all night. I've always loved it, and I'm definitely going to keep doing it, and I'm never shutting up.
Final comments, Jessica.
I think I said a lot. I think I'm okay. I can shut up now. Wait, no, never.
Wow. Well, y'all heard it. get in the comments on Let's Talk Fort Worth and tell us what you think of tonight's show. Again, Diane, I gave you an opportunity. I hope you are satisfied that I did read to Jessica the comments that you made. And anybody else that I mentioned on or was mentioned on the show, if you have a question, a comment, again, hit us up on the post.
Before we go, y'all, what? Get my back, please. Like, I don't want anything bad to happen to me. I'm not like I act like I'm fearless, but this really has been, I mean, a little bit. It has been scary. So I just hope that the people watch out for me.
Gotcha. All right, y'all. Just to say, please have her back. All right, y'all. That was Jessica Waller, who was a reporter for the Fort Worth Weekly, who says that she was terminated after she tried to get a story published about election fraud that took place during the November 2022 election. So we'd like to say thank you to Jessica for stopping by tonight and filling us in on what that article was all about. We also want to thank you, the audience, for listening tonight. We always appreciate you. Next time, bring a friend. Tell them about the show. We are live most Fridays. We are live every Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. This was a special edition in which we took out of rotation. Also, y'all, the verdict came in. Timothy Simkin got 12 years in TDC. So I think a lot of people are happy that the young man did not get life in prison. Also, follow us on Facebook. We're under Let's Talk Fort Worth. We have a Facebook page that's always popping. 7 is always being posted over there. So if you think we get down over here, you got to check us out over there. Also, we're going to be back on Twitter. We see that a lot is going on Twitter, so we're going to be back on Twitter probably by the end of the week. If you have a product, a service, a business, or a nonprofit that you'd like to get the word out about, consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. You can drop me a line at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Or you can hit me up on Facebook, either on my personal page, Carrie Hines, or on the Let's Talk Fort Worth page. Also, y'all, if y'all like the content we do over here, and we try to keep it fresh, we try very hard to keep it fluid. If other people are talking about it, typically we're talking about it too. So if you like what we do and you don't have a product, a service, a nonprofit that needs advertising, consider donating to the show, because we're absolutely trying to go next level this year. We're trying to put a street team on the street. We're definitely going to always be doing the talk show, and we're going to be doing some print online. So definitely trying to go next level with what we're doing here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Let's Talk Fort Worth. I don't know why I'm getting tongue-tied, y'all. Listen, keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we tell you exactly what's going on downtown. But I want to remind you tomorrow night, We're going to be back again. We're doing three shows this week, which never happens. We're going to be back tomorrow night talking about the Simpkins? I don't know why I'm struggling, y'all. We're going to talk about what we saw, what we observed, some of the things that some insiders who were at the trial told us. So we're going to tell you tomorrow night. So we're going to be back from 7 to 9 p.m. talking about the Timothy Simpkins case. So listen until tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. We'll see you then. Good night.